Okay, first and foremost, I want to dedicate the shiur, since it's my shiur, I could dedicate it to anyone. I want to dedicate the shiur to Tzva Hagana Yisrael. The reason why is that my son, for the first time, is actually doing real army service. He's out of the basic training mode, and he's in Hebron for Shabbos, which scares me. And then he's going to Yehuda v'Shomron. So the Rebbeinu Shalom should send all of our soldiers only bracha v'yatzlacha, and they should all be protected in Mirtz Hashem. Today's shiur will not discuss topics that are very important that don't revolve around farkas, so we're not going to discuss them. This shiur is only, just to revolve around the Isurim of farkas. I'll send this to your parents after, don't worry. I can only go through so much, because we don't have a lot of time, so we'll stick with pets. But one of the major questions to ask is that, if I'm not mistaken, I am not mistaken, because this research I did, dogs are the number one pets, obviously, in the world. So we're not going to discuss dogs, because Avi Hochschindler is not here, who rented a dog for a day. We're not going to discuss that, but dogs are the most popular animals, and in Eretz Yisrael, they're mufutzat, maybe here as well, but everybody started getting dogs. Used to be that there was a reason, so this is actually a halacha, meaning that would be mutter. In Yehuda v'Shomron, which you people call the West Bank occupied territories, Ben and Jerry's land, it's very common because Arabs actually are very scared of dogs. So a lot of people have dogs. So our cousins who live in Neve Daniel, so like the first time we were there, Shabbos, it's very cold there, Shabbos, and they said, forget it, we don't need the air conditioning on, and the whole night we couldn't sleep because you hear dogs the whole night out, because everybody said dogs outside. So we're not going to discuss that. It's interesting because the Gemara discusses a number of places in Bava. I'm starting with an introduction to what we're not discussing, because that's like a good rabbi. Bava Kama Tesvava Medez, Rabbi Nosson, says, Lo tasim damim ebisecha, a few weeks from now, Parsha, Kitetze, speaks about that you shouldn't put literally death in your house. Owning a wild dog is doing that. And there's such a thing. People have pit bulls. People have German shepherds. What? Oh, really? So I said it right. So you're doing that week. You're going to do Kiddush. Yeah. I'll be. Where are you going? I'll be there. So lotasim beisek. So you're not allowed to have a wild dog. So there would be an issur that a dog that we know is wild, and people have this all the time. You know, like my German shepherd's. No. He's different. Mine. He hasn't killed anybody yet. You know, like okay. So that's an issur. It's interesting though. Later on in Daf Pei, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, they quote this type of animal, a kafri, a small dog, a hunting dog, Rashi says, that is actually here to kill rodents. So we all know about this in camp, right? So if you were to get a cat, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, this is how apparently this all started, that they had a huge mice problem in Israel. So they imported cats into Israel to take care of the mice. Now we have a cat problem, not a mice problem. But that was the idea. So there is certain type of animals that might be mutter. Smaller animals maybe would be okay. However, the Gemara says in Bava Kama and Ayin Tesam and Beis that it's usher to own a dog that's not chained. It's usher to own a dog that barks because Shema, they're going to make a woman miscarry. She's going to be walking by. I'm sure this happened in the apartment that I'm staying in. I guess one of the apartments has a dog. So I always forget. And when I'm walking from the elevator to the apartment, the dog senses that I'm there and all of a sudden, and I always, every single time, the same thing happens. I get scared. I don't know why. It's probably a little puppy, but I'm scared of dogs. So it's interesting, speaking about being scared of dogs. I happened to come upon, Baruch Hashem, with Hashem's great fortune, just happened to be on Why You Torah was searching to see why I'm not on the top shirim. And I noticed that Rav Moshe Weinberger gave it a few years ago, a question and answer for people who were, not a few years ago actually, it must have been last year because it was during COVID, because it was on Zoom. And it was for people who are not yet from. So one of them said, I have a big problem. I want to be from, but I love animals. And is it true you're not allowed to have animals? So it's a very interesting question. And Rav Moshe Weinberger said it very, very beautifully, I thought. And he said the following. Our yesod in Yahadus, one of our key things we spoke about in Lessons from the Lave, is Torah Avodah Gimlus Chasadim. Gimlus Chasadim means that our house is open to people. He says, I'm being very honest with you. I grew up with parents who are survivors of the Holocaust. Dogs were the absolute worst thing you could ever imagine. Because, you know, dogs bring back the memories of my parents in the Holocaust. He says, I'm scared to death of dogs because that's my parents, that's how I grew up. So he says, I have a lot of congregants. I go to their house And they're like, oh, no, don't worry. I don't know, what do you call it? Whatever. Spot, Fluffy, whatever. He's really a good dog. And he is a good dog. And somebody comes to me and starts licking me, and it scares me to death. I hate it. So he says, I would think if you're a good, you want to be a hospitable person. Again, and there's not good reason for it. I want to point out, there's great psychological reason for people to get pets. I saw a few articles, I didn't read the articles obviously, but I saw them online, and the articles speak about how there's a psychological aspect to it now. And that's why we consult the Rav on all these things, is that there could be good reason for it. You have a child who is not able to interact appropriately. They bring it with Down syndrome kids, they have great for animals, they have with, you know, not that you're going to buy a horse, but they do horse therapy, and there's real therapies to that. So I'm not talking about that. I'm also not talking about Sinai dogs, which is a different Shaila. Rav Moshe, matir in a tshuva, Rav Soloveitchik also matir for a different reason. We're not talking about those type of things. But an animal that's considered to be very, very dangerous, right? The people have, you know, they always catch every so often, you on the, you know, on the news now, you know, so this guy has a crocodile in his house and it got out. He's like, oh, I didn't know it was on, sir, you know. One can imagine those type of things. So it's interesting. And then Bava Kamma, Pei Gimel, speaks about having a dog, and raising a dog is considered like raising pigs. You know, there's a tremendous curse for people who raise pigs. The Rama says, he says, if you have a dog that's not chained, that's usur. The Rambam codifies this as well. He says, not only the dog has to be chained, but if he's a tremendous barking dog, that's a terrible thing. The Yamshel Shlomo Bava Kamma quotes the idea of a dog that bites, that's also usur. So even, he says, even if the dog doesn't bite, but it barks, so there could be a problem. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav talks about the justification for many people today who have animals, because this animal doesn't bite. It's not capable of doing so. He says he doesn't think. He thinks it's a very schwer thing. He doesn't understand why. Most notably, Rav Yaakov Emden writes that it's mutter to keep animals for protection, or for money reasons, right? For protection against money. He said that would be mutter. And finally, the Sefer Chassidim writes that he doesn't understand why people own certain animals. Right, you have people, Nebuch, who are addicted. He talks about birds. They buy all different types of fancy birds. Hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Oh, look at this one. Look. He mimics what I say. Oh, Yishkayich. So he says, why don't you give this money to Stucka? Why are you so addicted to these type of animals? That's what he writes. And I'm assuming we're not going to discuss the psychological reasons and so on and so forth. What I do want to discuss today, and what today's shiur will focus on, is the concept of muks on Shabbos. And this has been a very big problem here in Camp Masora, because I think there's been major violations of halacha. Not surprising compared to all the other topics that I speak about. But this one is serious because we're the ones who caused it. Because we brought the animals into camp. It's kind of funny, right? So we're not the ones who had the questionable mechitzas, and we're not the ones who did zimriah, and we're not the ones who had canteen parties with girls. You know? But here, we brought all these animals in. So we have to discuss this, because it is something, at least for future years, that we should recognize. I'm discussing only one topic. This could be an hour, you know, hours and hours of different shiurim, because the issur of trapping is a major issue that went on here in camp. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa defines it as any activity that eliminates the freedom of the animal. There are heterim, but the Mishnah in Shabbos Kuvav does speak about this issur of being careful. It depends also, if you take a dog, for example, the dog generally will come to its owner and accept him putting the leash on. Let's say you walk a dog on Shabbos, which we'll find out happens to be mutter for the owner himself, right? He could probably appoint somebody else to do it. It's not considered to be muksa, because animals, sar balei chayim, is something we take very, very seriously, and the dogs have to get out. So sometimes you can let the dog out, and then the dog will run around, assuming it doesn't violate the isser of people being scared by it, and sometimes you have dog barks. And usually the dog will come back to you, and then you'll put the leash on. However, if your dog doesn't want to come back, and then you have to, like, trap it, really, and put the leash on, that, in fact, will create some issues. So I'm not going to discuss that. That is very interesting literature as well. So let's just discuss muksa itself. So the first Gemara that I quoted over here is the Gemara in Shabbos. Seemingly, seems to be very, very obvious. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rab, Behema Shanafla, Le'ema Samayim, right? What happens if you have a situation of Tsar Balei Chayim, where an animal fell, and we're allowed to bring karim ksaot, allowed to bring pillows and other things to help the animal get out because it's in so much pain. So the Gemara discusses, mutal kli lach derabanan, sar balei chayim daraisi, vein daraisi doichei. He says, well, what about, the Gemara basically is discussing, the Mishnah is discussing the idea of, wait, that must mean it's muksa. What would be the answer normally to help this animal out? So the answer is, it must be that Sar Balechayim, which is Daraisa, which is interesting, by the way, because it's not so partial to Daraisa. There are psukim that discuss it, a topic within itself, overrides Isra of Muksa, which we know was granted by the Rabbanon. And therefore, one could argue that this Gemara proves that animals, in fact, are Muksa unless otherwise there's a reason for them not to be Muksa. Now, so much so that we might argue that it's so muksa that it's like Eitzim Ve'avana, which is a very serious issue, right? On Shabbos, this is a big deal. We see it sometimes, I hope you don't see this. I see it sometimes on the road. A kid is bored. He has nothing to do, so he picks up the rocks from the road and starts playing with them, right? That's awesome. We're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, right? Eitzim Ve'avana is a serious issue. Other items might be defined at that issue, which we could just discuss, you know, looking at the refrigerator. You open up a freezer, and you have a raw, big, thing of meat. It can't be made on Shabbos. So the question is food in general considered to be muksa? Do we consider a steak that's not cooked in your refrigerator, in your freezer, to be considered to be muksa on Shabbos, like Eitzim Ve'avanim? You can't use it. So one could argue that many poskim not only say that that's a problem, it would be a problem if you take a freezer, right, and you open the freezer, and when you open the freezer, it has a shelf. You know, the inner shelf that comes with the door, and you have that meat there, so you might have a busis ledover aser. Someone argue that that's not true, because we know, you know, a child falls on the floor and he needs ice, and you open up the freezer and like, oh my God, I don't have any ice. So you would take that and put it on his head, possibly. So maybe it's not considered to be muksa, right? Even though generally there's nothing you can do with that piece of meat. It's not like, for example, if you have frozen cauliflower. I actually was at a simcha. I wasn't at a simcha. Sorry, Dr. Cheryl. I wasn't at a simcha. But I know somebody who was at a simcha, and they told me that at that simcha, there was a broccoli salad. The broccoli salad was 100% frozen solid. But there was a use for it. It looked nice. It didn't taste nice. But so that's what we have to do. We have to define what exactly is considered to be muksa. So if you look at Tosfos here in source number 2, this is the most important Tosfos because he brings out something and then dismisses it. Peirush Rabbi Yosef. Delo noket efra chai mishim duchi dechazi. L'shotak bok tinok kisha boichel. You can play, Rabbi Yosef says, you can play with certain types of animals, let's say a bird. The kid's hysterically crying. I was in Walmart yesterday. That's illegal. I was in Walmart yesterday, and there was this kid. The whole, you know, Walmart's huge. This kid was crying so loud. Every aisle we're in, you hear this kid, rah, rah. Nebuchadnezzar was with his father, and everybody's like, oh, this, what a horrible, you know, all fathers are horrible. Mother, I guess, would have done something. The father doesn't know what to do with this kid. He's like, what can I do for you? What do you want? You know, take anything you want. It wasn't working. So a kid's crying on Shabbos. You don't know what to do. You finally get the kid to be quiet. You give him the bird to play with. So Rav Yosef says, it's mutter. Says Tosfos, ve'ein nira. But I don't think that's true. I quoted it for you. Mashma is also a taltel based on the Gemara. Vaday balechai muksehein. Right? Gargus was smukim. They're like Eitzim Ve'avanim. Umukse oisam gam. Right? They're also gam miklovim. This is Shita. Interestingly enough, of Rabbi Yosef, it's quoted by the Mordechai, it's quoted by the Hagos Ashri, all in the same way, and we reject the Shita. Now, why is that important? Because sometimes when you have a Shita that's not quoted at all, we're not goyris it. It's worthless to us. Here, the Shita is quoted lahalacha, and there is a sniflaka. Again, we're talking about muksa, not that we're dismissing muksa. Muksa is a derabana. And we said before that in certain cases, obviously within the case of muksa, where we have, you know, again, if it's Eitzim Ve'avanim, there's no heter at all. The only heter would be, which we'll see a little bit later on, if you could have been miyached, this is a little joke that they tell about the Haredim. They say, how is it possible on Shabbos in Meir Sharim, you know, when a car comes down Meir Sharim, Chas V'Shalom, because it's, you know, they're going to get Yehorig Val Yavar, they're going to get killed. And they start screaming, Shabbos! And people pick up rocks and throw it at it, you know, whatever. Or in front of the movie theater, whatever it is. How is that mutter? Oh, the meyached, the stones from before Shabbos. So there is such a concept. You can take a stone, a nice big stone, a brick, and say, this brick I use to hold the door open so people can come into my house. So people can come to the Kiddush. But that stone is mutter on Shabbos because we know that what it's being used for. No question about it. I do think it's important that the Shita is quoted. It's dismissed by everyone. We'll see. It's not going to be completely dismissed, but there's what to be said about it. I think is an important point. And just to prove the point, what Rabbi Yosef here in the Shita is saying is that it would make sense that if an animal has a utility, if it has a purpose, then the item should not be considered to be muktzeh. Isn't that the laws of muktzeh in itself? Right? We're going to allow you something. I'll give you a good example. I remember in my year in Israel, we had this question. Right? A Ravkov. We didn't have Ravkovs in those days. Right? So you have this typical problem where a guy is going to be somewhere else. Right? Or you have this problem. Usually people go to the Kotel. They're going to the Kotel for Mincha. Right? They had Shal Shittas already, whatever. And now they stay there till after Shabbos. And they can't get on a bus now, right? They don't have a Ravka. They don't have... So maybe it would be mutter. So nowadays we used to have this kartusia. They would stamp it, you know, they would, whatever, put punches in it, punch holes in it. So we asked Rav Nevensal, would that be mutter? Isn't it considered to be like money? So we asked Rav Nevensal a different question, actually. I forgot. In Yeshiva HaKotel, back in the day, so we used to have, in order to get into the apartments, you needed a key card, right? You swiped a key card and it opened the door. The problem was is that for some reason, right after Shabbos, they moved it from the normal system. You could use your key didn't work. You had to use the key card. So we explained to Rav Nevensal, we can't get into our room. So it was basically just like it wasn't a credit card. It looked like a credit card. So Rav Nevensal said, if you write a pasuk on it, so you remember ma'ayin in a pasuk, it's not considered to be muksa. Like, for example, we had this whole shiloh, we spoke about hachana. So what if, you know, you're not allowed to wear your Tisha B'Av shoes, you're not allowed to wear the kinos. So that's a shiloh I have. The Mishnah Berurah clearly says, the halacha is that, for example, if Purim is on Motzei Shabbos, you're not allowed to bring your Megillah ben hashmashos. It's a little bit strange, no? Because, why? Why do I say it's strange? It's hachana, it's muksa. Why is it muksa? Why is a Megillah muksa? I'm allowed to relay the Megillah. I'm allowed to practice the Megillah. I'm going to look at the Megillah on Shabbos. So that's a little bit strange. It's not similar to something that you're not allowed to. Let's just think about the shofar. I don't know if this is true, but as of this morning, the camp did not have one shofar. I don't know if any of you guys brought up shofars. They have no shofar in the whole camp. I don't know what they're going to do on Monday morning. Scary. Skin. I don't know what's going to happen. But so a shofar, you're not allowed to, because you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. That's a different type of muksa. Here, one would assume, says the Tosfos, right, and the Mordechai, and we'll see in the Rush. You can't. The Rush in source number 3 here says the following. Same thing. Amar Rabbi Yosef, perish the chai chazilei, to keep the kid quiet, l'sachekbo would be mutter. V'lo nira, the imkain evan yafati yebuteres l'tayel. Right? You have the, not a kid, an adult, a goat walking by and he goes, oh my God, look what I found. A gorgeous rock. This is a beautiful rock. Is he allowed to pick it up on Shabbos and use it? Rush is like, this is a joke. Of course you can. Eitzim be'avonim aser. We don't have special cases of eitzim be'avonim that are mutter. Right? Same thing you could say with money. Right? Money's obviously a different category. So, clearly, like Tosfos, the Tosfos says, you can't use it. Right? Just because you find a beautiful stone, you can't use it. And even though you would think, this Rav Yosef says, to keep your kid quiet, you would be able to. No, that would be usher. Says the Magid Mishnah, here in source number 4, Ubishum behema chaya v'ov chayim einam uteres betilta lefisha einam. They have no purpose. Einu ruyin. There's no utility to it. Kamo eitzim evanem. Says the Magid Mishnah, muksus machmas gufo. Asur. No question about it. Source number 5 comes along the Maharach or Zarua. Funny, I saw two articles who quoted it as the Or Zeruah. It's not. This is the Maharach Or Zeruah, which was the son of Chaim of the Or Zeruah. I think of Chaim. He says like this: Mikol makom nirli lahatir l'taltol oifos hamitzasos b'kol noah b'kolvo. Right? You have beautiful birds; they make beautiful sounds, and people are interested in it. So he says that's mutter. Why? Because people get hana from it on Shabbos. And Mistam, I would say, we know about it before Shabbos, right? So the Or Zeruah. Grach or Zeruah, similar to whoever this Rav Yosef Peirush was, says, I don't, and I have a hard time understanding what the Isser is over here. If I know that I have this animal who has a purpose, that's not a wild dog, it's my dog. It's my puppy, right? And my kids get such hanah from playing from it, isn't it? You're going to tell me it's only mutter to touch it if it's not a sabra. I mean, again, we're not talking about touching. I didn't point this out, but pointed it to somebody before. That it probably is clear that petting an animal, anybody's animal would be mutter, right? Muksa is generally moving the animal. They get this from a raya from the Gemara. It talks about touching the horse's tail. And the Gemara seems to assume the tail was still on the animal. They did this, I don't know, for some reason on Shabbos. So it had a purpose, so it would be mutter. But Mistama, the Grach or Zeruah, says it would be mutter. Why? Shibnei Adam, Nehenim, Bikolam. I'm getting halacha from it. What's the problem? Very interesting, Raya. Very interesting. Again, help me out, guys, if I'm off base here. Right? Just B'Torah's understanding. It has a use. I know before Shabbos it has a use. What's the issue? Yeah?
I just have a question. Just time.
Yeah.
But what about picking a dog up?
No. Right. Once we're moving it, that would be awesome. Yeah.
What if your petting causes it to move?
No, it doesn't matter. As long as you don't move it. Stomach will probably cause it to move.
If you don't like dogs, is it Shabbos and
Shabbos? I think very good. So I would think that, yeah, that would be more of a problem. Your friend asks you to walk his dog. Normally, you can't just walk a dog. Stop. But we have this pet problem in general. A wild pet, right? You're out on a walk, and you happen to see, I don't know, a wild dog or Nebuchadnezzar, it's just all cats, right? So you have wacko people, sorry to be honest, who feed these cats, and that's why they keep coming back. And they go, and on Shabbos, they pet the cat. I don't know if you could say you could tie it star, but it's not my animal. So the same thing, you find that, oh my God, look at this gorgeous, I don't know, what do you find? I'm talking about all animals.
Squirrel.
Right, yeah, squirrel, exactly. Or you find a, what do you call it? This happens all the time on Shabbos here, frogs. Now, you know, it's after this, thank God, it's like the first week it didn't rain the whole week, you know, it's amazing. You know, I'm going to pick up a frog, right? There's no use for it. Especially though, if you find it to be, right, disgusting to you, that would be awesome. Again, so far we've really seen, except for really a very small amount, everybody seems to say it's also. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in source number 6. Hilchos Shabbos Shinches. Also letalta behema v'chayis v'oif. Mutter lekapot et asal lefnei ha'arfrim kidei she'yalu v'yardedbo. You can do an indirect action to make sure that the animals, that's totally mutter to do. Right? But not a direct action. That's what he says. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says the following thing. Just like we said before. I don't agree with the Grach or Zeruah. I don't agree with the Shito of Rabbi Yosef. It doesn't make any sense. And it should be Aser. Shels Jubs Halachas Katanos. Source number 8 says, Demadim agalim v'sichon midiach ein magmim lo mishum delav tzarech gufo mekomo. Hahu el tzarech atzmo shel iser, right? A person can't make up a reason why I want to go ahead and move the animal now, and therefore it's going to be mutter for me because I'm going to have a kunz how to work it out. And now here's the interesting rate. This is to me very, 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 very interesting. I like this stuff in halacha. Now we get to controversy. Comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein Mefurish in source number 9 in Orachayim Siman Dalet Siif. Sorry. In Chelik Dalat Simon Tezayin, Latal Tavishaz Vayantif, Hakli Shal Dugin Kitanim, Shenasin Lenoi, Ulikishutim. What are we talking about now? An aquarium, right? A fishbowl, right? Happens to be, I should have started with this. I'm very anti animals, right? I'm similar to what we said about, who do we quote? The Sefer Chassidim. What are you wasting your money on the animals for? What are you wasting your money for? There are people who have fish tanks, Rachmana Litzlan. I'm not joking now. Who spend thousands and thousands of dollars, not on the fish, to have the guy come to clean the tank. I don't understand. You're going to tie it to me. It's good for business. People come. Okay, whatever. It's in the doctor's room. Okay, you should go. In Israel, like, you have the best thing. They have fish tanks there. They're not filled. Like, because the guy that started 20 years ago had this great idea of filling it with fish, and then he realized how much it costs. So you just have a fish. You walk in, there's just a fish tank. You know, there's nothing in it. Okay. So, but Rav Moshe says, what about a fish tank? So I happen to have in my house, Sorry, they're dead. We usually do very well with goldfish. We buy a goldfish, two goldfish. My kid actually brought home a goldfish. They have in school a pond. And they usually last. We do pretty well with them. So I don't want to say Baruch Hashem, but right before the summer, we had an issue. Who's going to watch that? So they died. So, no, it worked out well for us, because then you have that awkward situation of what do? You know, like, whatever. But usually when they die, we do a whole ceremony, and that shouldn't be, we have a whole ceremony, we bury them in the toilet, and, yeah, very good. We also had a turtle, we had a pet turtle, who just ended up in our backyard, and we tried to do Hashavas of a donut, and nobody, it's interesting, cute, great. So we fed it, and so on and so forth, you know, all the time. And then just one day, he dropped dead, because it was like 900 degrees outside in Beit Shemesh. So then we buried it in the backyard. We had a whole ceremony, a whole thing. We said Kaddish, whatever. And we put a matzeva up, yep. So says Rav Moshe, Nirsha Aser Labalachim. You can't pick up this is a good question, right? Can you pick the tank up? There are people, actually I've seen this, I'm sorry to say. I've been to simchas here in America, you know. The top simchas, you have to have a party planner. You pay the party planner, so on and so forth, right? So she's got to come up with a good idea, the party planner. So she comes up with a great idea. She's going to have, at the table, a beautiful flower display, and next to it, a beautiful fish bowl with all these different fish in. Not like in the, I'm sure you're here in America. You go to the supermarkets, and my kids are like scared to death by this. You go to the section, and they have the lobster, and you get to pick the lobster. You pick the lobster. Can you imagine going to Papagayo's? I'll take that cow. I'm like, okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. So they do that. So here Rav Moshe clearly says, Dinirisha Asula Balachaim Muksasam Afri Gavna Dehem, right? Kigurantovismukim. They're considered to be, seemingly, Rav Moshe clearly says here, Kal V'choim almost. We might think that the tank is a little bit different. And if you turn the side over, you see very clearly in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, trying to find it, in source number 12, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted. In the footnote here, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach daf the kli hamayim kisa is a busis. Mikol makom hol the kelim yachin mutaris lanoi. To move it around would be mutter, right? This actually for me was the only noig thing for this whole shiur for me. That if we have a fish tank in the house and my kids want to move it somewhere else to watch, I don't know what they're watching it for, but okay, right? We talked about being bored on Shabbos, yeah. So that would be mutter. Machlekes Rav Moshe and Rishon Zalman Auerbach. However, in general, we're machmir like the Rush, and we don't allow animals, even if it's for, But the Dagim Atzvam, he doesn't think it's mutter if they're in the tank. However, what do we see from Rav Moshe? Now let's go back for a second. Now we'll get to the big machlekes of the morning, which is so awesome. What we're going to discuss now. Rav Moshe clearly says a kal v'chomer that animals are awesome. And in fact, Rabbi Bodner in his Sefer, The Laws of Muksa, the Sefer on Muksa, right? I had an amazing story I have to tell you. Just thought about Rabbi Bodner. So when I was in another camp, we're not allowed to talk about other camps, because not only are you not allowed to visit any camps, you're not allowed to talk about them. Anyway, Torah Sivalana Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. So when I was in another camp, so I had a Shaila. The Shaila was like this. On Shabbos in this camp, they would serve for dessert Shabbos day. They would serve every table got a thing of Jello and a can of whipped cream. I was a little kid. I was bar mitzvah. I was old bar mitzvah. And I said, "This is weird. Why is whipped cream mutter on Shabbos? Appears to be an isser. Why? Because it's a liquid in the can and it comes out a semi-solid. I don't know." So I went, happened to be the rabbi of my shul was there, Rabbi Billet. And I went to Rabbi Billet and I said, "What do you think about this?" He says, "Wow, that's a very good question. I can't handle a question like that. You have to go to Rabbi Willig in the Kollel." I'm like, "Are you crazy?" You have to understand, from Camp Morashak, I thought he was like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Like, I'm going to go to Rabbi Willig in the Kollel? Besides that, I have to walk a mile to him. So I went with my counselor. I was all excited. And Rabbi Willig treated me like $1 million that I had a question. He was such a great chinuch that I learned from this. The first time I ever went, I went to the Kollel and I said, "Hi, Rebbe, I have a question." Wow, that's amazing. And he was going crazy and I felt so good about myself. And now I'm expecting for him to be like, "That's an amazing question. Let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara you have over there, Toises HaMachlekes, where we just talk, Marach or Zaruah, the Maram Chalal." He goes, "Let's go to the back and look at the Muksa book. Rabbi Bader must speak about this." And I'm like, "The Muksa book? I could have checked." I was like upset. Like, this is it. Anyway, we looked in the back and said nothing. He's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. That was the end of the conversation. Anyway, I got a heter. Back in the day, you needed a heter to call your parents. You're allowed to call like every so often. So I said, I got to call my father. I got to tell him this whole story. I told him the story. It's actually funny. I remember I was waiting online. There used to be a line for the payphone. You don't even know what a payphone is. For me was, what do you call it? On the phone with his grandfather screaming. And I'm like, dude, come on, man, come on. And he gets off the phone. And he's like, I'm really sorry that I was so long. And I'm like, honestly, you should be sorry because it was really long. He goes, I know you're totally right. He says, you know, my grandfather, it's not so easy for him to hear. He goes, you might have heard of him before, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. I'm like, oh, that was before I was in his shir. So I felt bad. Anyway, I spoke to my father. My father's going to look it up. I called him on Friday, and my father found it, that the Debrett Sina Rav says that it's usher. But he says it's usher for another reason. Interesting. You know why he says it's usher? Because of the shape that comes out. You know how it has, you know how it has in it, whatever. Anyway, so then I brought it to Rabbi Billet, and Rabbi Billet got very mad at me. He says, you're quoting me the Debrett Sina Rav. Debrett Sina Rav famously in his Ber Moshe has a tshuva against Rav. He has a tshuva against Rav, what do you call it? Against Rav Soloveitchik. He calls him Ish Torah Madami Boston. He speaks very, very not appropriately about him. No. Anyway, let's go back to the story. Here's the exciting thing. Let's look at source number 10. Source number 10 is a huge machlekes. So he says like this. Igros Moshe, Orachaim, Simon, sorry, Orachaim Chelek He, Simon Chafbet, says the following. Anybody know what Chelek He is? Anyone? It's a new Chelek. Now there's been another Chelek. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very, very old and getting on in years. So Rav Moshe was not able to write tshuvas anymore. So his grandsons were writing tshuvas. One of them was the famous Rav Shabtai Rappaport. Shabtai Rappaport married into the family. He married Rabbi Tendler's daughter. Rabbi Tendler's son, also another grandson. So they wrote, people joke and called it Igros Moshe Tendler. Rabbi Tendler, they said, you know, it's not really Jewish. I have a foolish name, but Rabbi Tendler. And people question these tshuvas. So look what he writes over here. And this is why it's strange. He says like this. Siparim Ketanim, he asks whether or not they're muksa. So look what he writes in Tshuva. Kol Balei Chayim, Havi Le Muksa. They're also, like we said already, no chiddush, right? V'afilu ba'oisa shemitagim v'sachim b'ayim. Even if the kids are going to play with it. And now look at that little weird thing over there. That's a different print purposely, because in the Sefer it's in a different print. And he writes, Ela in Kain, heim yuchadim l'shat shu'in. They're pets. Pets, the guy who wrote pets. It was added. So now, if you look at the story in source number 14, there's a wonderful, amazing writer, Harav Tzvika Reisman. Harav Tzvika Reisman's, I don't remember who, I guess daughter, is married to Rabbi Goldbach's son. He writes Ratzakafi. He's a very wealthy individual who writes amazing svarim and actually gives a lot of money to people who write svarim. It's really an amazing book. Really, really, really amazing. And he says as follows. He writes like this. He says that, how can this be? How can we have a disability? So you should know, just so you realize, Igros Moshe was put into Cherem. He was put into Cherem. Rav Moshe, it's not Rav Moshe, you know, and then the Svarim did like amazing. When you get a Sefer, the best thing you could ever have is put your Sefer in Cherem. And made so much money. I mean, I don't think they really care. So basically, he asks Rabbi Rappaport what the halacha is. He says to Rabbi Rappaport, how can it be? What's this tshuva? What's this? He clearly wrote in the Muksa Sefer. He clearly wrote in Igros Moshe. Clearly said it's usher. And now here, you add this little thing. So he writes here in source number 14, this was originally written in the Moriah, the Torah journal, to Rabbi Tzvika Reisman. He says, yes, I know. Rav Eider writes in his Sefer that it's usher, v'chulu. He goes, it's obviously, he goes, but he says, I have to tell you, what I wrote was the emes la'amito. The reason why I wrote it is because it was the emes. It was the emes. Because Rav Moshe was sitting there, he was not able to write anymore, and when I read him back the tshuva, he goes, no, add a line that says if it's pets, it's mutter. He says, but Rebbe, you pass him another tshuva that way. He goes, I don't care. And he says, I fought him. And he writes at the end of the tshuva, he says, and if you think I made this up, I, Rav Shaftai Rappaport, the Rosh Kollel of the Bar Ilan Kol, I also hold that it's aser. And I told Rav Moshe, here's why I think pets are aser. Because of everything that we said until now. All kimat kol apaiskim say that it's aser. But he said, what do you want me to do? He said, he goes, I understand too. He goes, but Rav Moshe didn't listen to me. And he says, put it in. I wrote it in a different font so that people will understand that this was done later on. But this is where Rav Moshe holds. And he says, also my brother-in-law, Rav Mordechai, he says that he was there too. He said, Bi'ur Mukhlat. I'm 100% sure. He told us to add that pets are different. And that's the halacha, Rabbi Isai. Very, very interesting. I don't have much to say about this because I'm not in the hock, although I listened to this. I saw a beautiful, beautiful article in the Svarim blog about this. He says it's amazing. He wrote in the Svarim blog that people, I'm not going to give names, but I can give names. Rabbi Jachter has an amazing article. And I should quote Rabbi Jachter because I got a lot of the stuff from Rabbi Jachter's article. Amazing. But Rabbi Jachter doesn't even quote this Rav Moshe. It's a little bit crazy, no? A little bit crazy. Anyway, we have only a few minutes. I know we have another. I saw a girl working, so we have another event going on here. So he says like this. So, okay, it is what it is. Rav Moshe maybe says pets are okay, but it's a huge nafkamina, Rabbi Isai. I had a quote because we're here. Rav Nevin sells Sefer, Shales the Shoes of Igdor Alev. I never had this. I didn't know this was a Sefer. I'll be honest with you. So my nephew was able to get it for me. And it says, Psaki Arash, Balachayim's Muksa. He doesn't think this is a Shaila, just like his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Abrach. And finally, in the Sheol Sechuvas Mirosh Surim, which is HaRav Shmuel David. Rav Shmuel David is from Kibbutz Rosh Surim. That's why it was called Mirosh Surim. There's a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. In 1998, he was picked as the Sephardic Chief Rabbi, Rav of Afula. He's a very interesting Rav. He's one of the Rabbanim of Tzohar. He's one of the Rabbanim who started an institute for people who want to do Geirus. They have no way of learning. So he teaches them how to learn. And he said, he quotes the whole Machloikis, and he says, I'm not sure, it's very interesting the way he writes this. He says, the Amudei Halacha b'machlekes zu is the Psak of the Rush. The Gedole Ashkenaz, he says, go like the Rush, and therefore it should be Usher. But he says, the Suffolk, for Svardim, 100% Usher. There's no Svardi Posek who says that you could have pets. However, he thinks that you could be makel by the Ashkenazim. And he says, Rav Mordechai Elio, he asked this question to as well, Shedai Bezeh, Shezeh, Machlekes Rishonim, you could be hot makel derabanan, he says, in this case. If necessary. Obviously, when it comes to a Sinai dog, for somebody who can, that for sure would be mutter. There'd be no question about it at all. And I said, the Sheol Sechuvas, I think I actually misquoted it. Halachas Katanas does say in the Tshuva, Demidin, Aglim, Vesorchim, Midin, Ein Magbiyim, Lo Mishim Delav, Letzorch, Gufo, Makomo, Ela, Letzorch, Asmo, Shel Isser. There would be Makom that to say that it's not Muksa in certain cases. And then he ends off by saying, and I asked my Rebbe, he learned in Gush, Rebbe Meir of Aaron Lichtenstein, Sheroy Lahachmir, Sharei Kach Nirim, Daitam Heikarim, Shal Toysis, Vah Mordechai, Vah Gos Oshri, Vah Rosh. Ulahair, Biyad Mekila Mishum, De Sof Sof, Hadover Shoni Bemachlekis. He says, I want to tell you. So I just want to say, honestly, I don't know this Rav, and I don't think it's such a Machlekis. I think it's so obvious. He wants to be Mekil in certain cases. He said that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said it's good to be Machmir. Again, this is major, like you can't have pets. Now, the chicks and all the different things, again, there's a lot of other isurim. But to say that they're my pets and you're holding them in this, so that clearly everybody's going to say is going to be problematic, right? Again, not clearly everyone, because again, if it helps the kids and it's going to make them feel better, like these, you know, these little kids over here, they like pets, they like to play with the chicks and the bunnies and the, maybe, and it gets them into the kolel. So maybe that's a room to be makel as well, but a lot of the poskim came out, all the poskim seem to say that that in fact it would be very, very problematic. And this seemingly, you know, even on a simple thing, Shabbos Shira, putting out food for the birds. You're not allowed to feed animals that aren't yours, Tashlech. So the kids of Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, they all poskim that Shabbos Shira, you put food out before Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. Same thing with Tashlech, you shouldn't use bread, things of that nature. The Orach HaShulchan wants to defend the Minhag, but Kimat, as I said, most say that it's also. Any questions before we conclude? Yeah. I think it would be usur unless it's your own pet. And if there's any chashash of sar balei chayim, then I would say 100% it would be mutter for you to move it. If there's any chashash, any reason for sar balei chayim, I don't think there would be no shaila at all.
How do you define sar balei chayim?
So I think we could define it. We could be very makel with that. Certainly feeding the pet, you have to feed the pet before you eat. Those type of things, even though they say, well, the animal doesn't have to eat every day. No, it probably doesn't apply to fish, because fish don't have to eat every day. But yeah, you think the animal's even a little sar. Animal has to walk. Does a turtle, I have to put the turtle outside because it has to walk? I'm not sure about that. But it's your own animal, so you can be more makel. Yeah.
These chickens considered part of the
pet? I don't think they're considered the mishutof pet. There could be such a thing. If everybody gave a dollar and bought it, maybe. But in general, no. I don't think, I'm sorry, just to be, I'm not poskening, I'm not a posek, but I think it would be also for kids to hold it the whole day. And the whole thing with the bunny and you know it's running away, and you know then you're going to have to trap it in order to get it. It's very problematic. Even within our own house, as a shaila, how exactly you're allowed to close a door when there's a dog there, it's not so pasha. Yeah.
If you're the owner, are you allowed to play fetch with your dog?
Assuming that the fetch, there's an Eruv and a whole thing, and is it a good thing to be doing on Shabbos? We spoke about that. Maybe not. But if the dog needs it for himself, he's gonna. I don't know much about dogs. My boss has a dog, and one of our managers does. So he has a wonderful, looks like a really wonderful dog. So when I go into the office, sometimes he brings the dog in. The dog starts going nuts. He's actually chained up. He says he just wants to play with you, and it's cute to throw a ball at it and this and that. Is it needed? You can't just walk the dog? I'm not sure. So we could be a little bit more makel for Svarim. You can't be makel, is what we said. Okay, we're getting kicked out. All right, shkoyach.